Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this rainy Monday. The Monday blues. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be the Tuesday blues, the Wednesday blues, the Thursday blues. Probably going to be all week. Lots of rain, unfortunately. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe in studio. Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. He joins us every Monday at this time at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vinny, how you doing?
Other than the weather, I'm good. Hope you guys are too. You know, when I was younger, I used to scoff at people. I used to comment and wonder, like, why is everyone commenting about the weather all the time?
I'm just with you, Vince. With it. Yep,
it's going to change. And now we're like that ourselves.
No doubt, I am 100% in agreements with you. I did the same thing, but you know, as adults, we also plan. It's like yesterday, we planned because of the weather, because you know we felt like we were going to finally get a break. It was beautiful here yesterday, and so we took advantage of that, and we got out on the baseball field and did that, and then, you know, it's right back inside the house. But, you know, we just pay close attention to it as adults, try to get stuff done. But you're right. I am in that boat with you. I did the same thing. Like, oh, stop always talking about the weather. We'll just deal with it as we wake up and see what kind of day it's going to be. And then you realize, yeah, that's just not how it works.
Yeah, I think we've all gotten softer as the years have gone on. I think that's part of it.
Well, yeah, we usually as adults we get softer. That's why I'm going to tell people they need to get gym memberships so we can get a little bit tougher. We get softer as we get older. Vince, I got to be honest, I was surprised at how soft, segue, Tennessee looked on Saturday against Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky led wire to wire. That's just not what I expected in Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee has had as much success against Kentucky and Thompson Bowling Arena as anyone.
In fact, Barnes had not lost to them in Knoxville, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And if they would have won, it would have been, I think, the first three-game winning streak against Kentucky since, like, the 70s, something like that. So, you know, even Calipari commented on it. He was like, I don't really pay attention to, you know, records versus coaches or anything like that, just trying to get my team better. But somebody brought to the attention to me how they've had the better of us here, and it's true. So I don't know, Darren, if I would call Tennessee's performance soft. They didn't hit shots, and they don't have the depth and answers to offset such a skilled team and a more experienced Kentucky team than maybe their reputation has of being one-and-done school in the past. They're better than that. They're a little bit older than that, yet they still have some talented freshmen to go with it, and those three guards and a couple of bigs, Richards, who continues to get better. So that's a really good Kentucky team. Tennessee already thin to begin with, then no Josiah Jordan James in the game. He's missed the last couple of games with a groin injury, maybe some other things too. So it's just they just don't have the horses. And even with that, they kind of hung around. They just couldn't break through that four-point wall and get any closer. And Kentucky deserves some credit for being able to answer. That's not easy to do on the road, and they did it and held Tennessee off and made big shots down the stretch where Tennessee had some good looks. They couldn't make them. And that's kind of, I think, representative of the season for this team. They're not a great shot-making team. And when they don't play the right way, which is getting in the lane and driving, when they don't do that and they're just hanging out behind the three-point line and hoping for the best, it's usually doesn't work out for them. And Kentucky attacks the rim, attacks, attacks, attacks. And that just helps create open three-point looks when you do kick it out. So it was they were the better team, and Tennessee just couldn't make enough shots down the stretch because they had open looks.
Yeah, and Kentucky's doing what Kentucky does best, right? They're getting better every game, every month, and so this is what Calipari does with these young teams. And, you know, by the end of the month, you know, heading into March, they'll be firing on all cylinders, and it's already looking like that's happening again. I guess I was just surprised at how Kentucky, I know soft and easy are strong words, but to lead wire to wire and in control the entire game, I didn't expect them to do that in Knoxville. I expected them to win. I picked Kentucky on Friday's show to win the game. I just didn't think it was going to look that easy.
Well, I think there was a struggle there during. I mean, Kentucky was never really able to pull away from Tennessee. I mean, it kind of teetered between 4 and 11 the whole time. I mean, there were still some critical possessions. Bowden, when they were down 4, had an open 3 at the top of the key and wasn't able to hit. So it was still, I think, even though Kentucky led throughout, I still think it was it came down to some clutch play. And look, Kentucky got into foul trouble, which is what Tennessee wanted to do to them. And yet Tennessee was still able to hang around with Kentucky some. But to me, it shows that Kentucky is a little bit older, more mature, and tougher than maybe they've been. And you're right, they're always a threat in March. But I have actually more belief in this group than past groups that maybe – talent-wise, top to bottom, were more talented.
Really? And, why is that?
Because I love their three guards. They can finish in traffic. They attack the lane. They play the right way inside and out. Richards has gotten better as a post, so they can play inside and out. And in the tournament, it's a guard game in the tournament, and I trust their guards. They have that better mix of youth and experience. And, yes, they don't go very deep. But, I mean, a guy like Johnny Juzang, who has came out of nowhere, basically. I mean, he was in their rotation a little bit, but he came out of nowhere to hit some big shots for them. And as long as they have a little bit of contribution from their bench in the tournament, you don't have to go as deep into your bench. But with those days off in the tournament, so I like their starting five a lot, and I think they will continue to get better and be a threat.
Legit contenders, like legit.
I would Final Four absolutely okay. because who's great?
That's why I'm bringing it up, because there really isn't a powerhouse team. There's not. Very many there's not any halves, really. I think there's no great teams. I think there's some really good teams, but they're few and far between. I mean, this year is truly wide open, in my opinion.
Totally agree.
Okay, that's interesting perspective, since you saw them up close and personal on Saturday. By the way, how big is coming back against Alabama this week? I mean, that would have been 5 losses in a row. That was a huge comeback to win by a bucket down in Tuscaloosa earlier in the week, or we would be talking about a Vols team that had dropped 5 in a row.
Yeah, and they were down 15 in that game in the first half as well. And, I mean, you'd look like – I wrote that game off. The way they had been playing going in, to your point, and then to be down 15 and then find a way back in the second half – It was impressive, and in that game they played the right way. They got all of Alabama's bigs. They fouled them all out, and so Alabama had a small lineup at the end, but Tennessee kept getting in the paint, and then for whatever reason, Jordan Bowden has been better in second halves than in first half for a while through all of SEC play. I did the pregame interview with him on the Vol Network, and I said, why is second half Jordan Bowden better than first half Jordan Bowden? He started laughing before I ever finished. He's like, man, I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out, but it's better to finish, he said. And you know, that was the case Saturday also, but they don't have enough weapons. And I said this to you guys last week, when a lot of the things that this team is missing and could use, Lamonte Turner, a healthy Lamonte Turner, would bring them. On the ball defense, it may start there. Leadership, three-point shooting, ability to drive, not afraid of the clutch shots, getting him a big bucket when the offense is stagnant. I mean, all those things. But on-the-ball defense is as big a thing as anything that this team is missing. Offense, obviously, as well. But Turner could have helped them with a lot of those things. Then they don't have Josiah Jordan James, another guy who is probably their next best defender other than Jordan Bowden. He's not playing. And then Santiago Vescovi, who's been amazing with some of his three-pointers and finishing in traffic, things like his crazy passes. He's been so impressive. Rick Barnes just gushing over his story of coming to this country and immediately jumping into playing point guard in the SEC. However, he's a little bit slow of foot defensively. He doesn't really know. He's not connected with everybody just yet and what they're doing. So they're just short on in a number of different areas that Turner could bring them, and they definitely need James back soon. He's day-to-day, according to Barnes.
We'll come back on the other side. There's been a lot of staff changes on Jeremy Pruitt's crew. And in fact, they got word that one's leaving to go to the NFL today in the Titans division. We'll tell you all about that. Plus, Philip Former, the AD, said they're going to take a bite out of crime. Well, no, he didn't say crime. He said something else. We'll talk to you about that as well. Philip Former getting a little attention with his comments that he made this past week, which was interesting. More with Vince Ferrara on the other side, the sports animal in Knoxville. We will do that next. Right now, I want to talk to all the men out there. Been telling you for years now about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, his wife Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff, they want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And I hope you want that like I do. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. If you want to achieve that healthy lifestyle, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone and dial the number, make appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Welcome back in. Darren, Donovan, Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming thegamenashville.com, the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland here with you. Willie Donick, of course, in Vancouver. We're talking to Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. And Vince, one thing we didn't get into last week, I mean, there have been a ton of football staff changes for Jeremy Pruitt. As we figured, it happens every year that the coaches will change up some things on their staff. But Jay Graham is one of those changes. What do you make of all these?
Well, I'll start with Jay Graham and then get to the rest because, Chase, I think there have been like four moves since the commercial break started. I mean, it's ridiculous how many. I actually had to make a list, starting with the first move, David Johnson, that left. I've counted 11, either coming or going, from the staff. It's crazy. But Jay Graham, I think, is the most significant. He is as good of a hire for Jeremy Pruitt as he has had on his staff since and equal to Jim Chaney. I think that's how good of an addition Jay Graham is. He's one of the best at coaching the position. He is an elite recruiter, and he's got ties into areas in recruiting, North Carolina and parts of the Southeast, Georgia. But North Carolina is the key spot where he has recruited. It's his home state, and he can really make some inroads in those areas. So, you know, big-time recruiter, well-respected. Oh, by the way, he played at the University of Tennessee and starred. That's not the reason why he went after him. Like, fans oftentimes want to say, hey, go get this guy because he played at Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt is going after the best guys, and look, if they play the Tennessee, that's only a bonus, and he'll use that to sell him after the fact. But Jay Graham checks all the boxes, take him away from Texas A&M. And Jimbo Fisher, you know, they're paying their staff, and he hired him. He's worked with him at Florida State, to Jeremy Pruitt, so he knows what he's all about. And I just think it's an unbelievable hire. I wasn't sure they were going to be able to get it done, but you know, to get him, I think it's huge, and it speaks, I think, to an emphasis on recruiting with all of these other moves.
So, and look, as I said to start this, we knew that some staff changes were probably going to take place. I think as a head coach, as you grow into that role, you want to tweak things as you go. You want to try and keep the message consistent, but also keep it fresh. So when you evaluate Jeremy Pruitt and some of his hires that he's made going into this season, how would you evaluate him?
Well, Chase, it's a lot of movement coming off of what ended up being a great close to the season with the six straight moves, right? You feel like you're going in the right direction, then that's a lot of movement coming and going. The natural thing is you want that continuity and keep going forward. But this is the second year in a row they had a ton of moves. They had a ton of moves last year going into the season, and in the end it ended up working out for them, even though it took a while. So maybe the same thing will happen here. But I think even though, and we'll get to the signing day in a sec, but even though Tennessee finished strong in recruiting, I think there's still another area that Pruitt expects to get to. And what a lot of these changes tell me is that they want to enhance recruiting even more. And then also it looks like by some of the guys that they have brought in that they're looking to get a little bit younger on the staff also. And look, there's a lot of schools, even the ones that have success and ones that don't, that they're having a lot of transition on their coaching staff. So it's a little bit of a sign of the times, but I think those are the two things, is take recruiting to another level and get younger. And maybe those two things are connected. Some of those other moves, obviously David Johnson went to Florida State, Kevin Shearer to the New York Giants. Joe Osaved was an off-the-field analyst. He now is coaching tight ends. Brian Niedermeyer moves from coaching tight ends to inside linebackers. Chris Rump is going to the Houston Texans. Tracy Rocker to South Carolina. Their player personnel director, Drew Hughes, is also going to South Carolina. Chip Long reportedly coming in for former Notre Dame OC as an offensive analyst off the field. Then just in the last couple of minutes, Jimmy Brumbaugh, defensive line coach of Colorado, reportedly coming in to coach the D-line. And then Shelton Felton coming in to coach outside linebackers, more than likely. It's what he coached at Akron. He would be a natural slot into Chris Rump's spot. That's all of the moves. That's a lot.
You're not going to quiz us, all right, afterwards? Because yeah. I don't think I would do well.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I won't. But, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. But what's also impressive, real quick, guys, is that Pruitt was ready to go. Guy left, all right, going to the Texans, got my guy within the hour. You know, it seems that way, that he was ready to go and prepared. And, you know, that's a good sign.
Before I get into some comments by a prominent figure at UT, that's a tease.
Oh, do tell.
I will ask about National Signing Day, because you brought that up, and how the Vols fare to me. I know they moved into the top 10, so that you – however you want to view that, I guess that's a good thing.
It is, because when you looked at them in Gainesville, they were 1-4, and I was there looking at the players and Pruitt in the postgame after that debacle, and you weren't even thinking – you were thinking, man, this could really end bad for everybody here. You know, would it get to the extreme of coaching change, and would the recruiting class fall apart even if Pruitt is there for another year? I mean, it was just rock bottom at that point. And to close out the season like they did, and then clearly, based on what recruits are saying, have said that their turnaround impacted things, that they were going in the right direction, and to end up getting guys and closing late. Now, the early signing period, they had five targets. They got all of them that weren't previously committed. They had three targets going into National Signing Day. They hit two of the three. The other one, Zach Evans, a five-star running back, he's waiting to take more visits before he decides. And who knows, maybe you land him, even though I think that's a little bit of a long shot. But so you're getting all your guys you want, and you're closing strong. I think that speaks to the direction that they're going and how. And they've been able to do that with all this fluidity in the coaching staff also. So I think it went very well. Yeah, as high as 7 in Rivals, 10 and 24/7. ESPN had them at 18. But I, overall, I think it's very impressive. Wide receiver numbers might be a little low, but they have a couple of guys that are flexible. They also added the two guys on National Signing Day, Malachi Wideman, who was a Florida State commit, and Dee Beckwith, who's from the Tennessee Valley there in North Alabama. Both of those guys are terrific basketball players, too. So that could be something that they work out as two-sport players, which would be pretty unique. But both of those guys can really play. So I think overall, other than maybe a little thin at wide receiver and rush end, I think those are the two positions that they need to hit and not miss on guys. Other than that, I think they hit on a lot of their needs, and they're very happy with it.
I'm going to read this quote verbatim. Quote, the Vols are back, and before long we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we plays. You know what?
Arse.
Arse. That is Philip Fulmer, the athletic director. So what do you think? Are they back?
Well, no, they're not back. I mean, obviously you have to define back, but back to me is on a national level where you're competing for championships. They're not there yet. They're back in the right direction. Look, I don't really don't have a problem with it. I think you gotta remember that you got cameras around at these recruiting celebrations, and that's what it was. And you know, you play to your boosters and your fan base a little different than you would in regular interviews with the media, and that's what he was doing. Tried to clarify it a little bit afterwards. Honestly, to me, it doesn't change a whole lot. The expectations are going to be there anyway. So it is also the complete opposite from what we saw during the Butch Jones era, where Butch Jones would try to downplay expectations, and in that way he would outperform that potentially, and then you'd credit the coaching. Well, here, whether it's Pruitt or Fulmer, they're in lockstep in saying, hey, we have bigger goals here, and we feel good about what we're doing, so we're going to talk about it, and fans are going to be excited. They're going to buy season tickets, and I think that's part of this, is buying season tickets. And look, the expectations are going to be there whether you downplay or get them fired up. So I really don't have a problem with it. I just think it's something that everybody else in the SEC and can easily bring up if you don't get to where that's what we think it means and back competing for championships, because they're not there yet.
But why biting? You can't bite. You can't bite your opponent's arse. Why not kick it? I mean, kick their arse. Why do you have to bite it? That's just a weird saying, I think. Don't you think?
Well, you know, the kick, yeah, a little bit.
How about we're back the and kick- we're going to kick everybody's tail rather than we're going to bite out of everybody's tail that we play? I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I thought it was a weird thing to say. That's just me.
I got to give you credit, Darren. I did not break it down to that extent.
Well, I was really,
for a long time.
Doing a little play-by-play, just trying to break down what Philip Fulmer was saying. And I don't know. I would have gone on maybe a different, I would have called a different play. That's just me as the OC of this discussion. I don't know.
Well, the kicking thing is something that Jeremy Pruitt, he made a kicking reference where, you know, people were kicking us, were enjoying kicking us while we're down, and now we're going to do the kicking. He said something to that effect during one of the signing day things. And John Pennington, who is the host and creator of a Sunday morning TV show here in Knoxville that I'm a guest on from time to time, he brought up an old quote of Dooley where he was saying a very similar thing. Oh, yeah, people have been enjoying kicking us while we're down. I was like, made the kicking reference also, but Dooley did that. So you don't necessarily want to, you know, repeat the words of Derek Dooley, even though that wasn't his intention. But
well, Jeremy Pruitt literally kicked, didn't he, on the sidelines? Didn't he kick a board?
Yeah, I think he did.
His first year. Yeah. He backed off. He backed off in the kick in year two. No biting that was seen.
No biting.
I guess there was the helmet grab. so maybe we get. Yeah, we're gonna pull the helmets of all our opponents and next year. So I don't know. Oh. I guess I was too busy with the 73 coaching changes on UT staff to break it down like that.
You're right. That was. Like I said, I'm just glad you're not doing a pop quiz. We would probably fail. That was. That was a lot to digest in a short amount of time. So maybe
the next blog will be just listing the coaching staff.
Well, I was going to say, aren't they all going to have to get together and stand up and introduce themselves, who they are, you know, where they came from, and kind of a meet and greet meeting? Isn't that coming?
Yeah, I would think so. Now, they didn't do it during National Signing Day. You know, in the past, Pruitt has brought his had his entire staff out. He didn't do that this time. He had the coordinators out there on those National Signing Day celebrations. So it was a little bit different. And actually, there was a reference. Jeremy Pruitt basically said, hey, there's a lot of guys that were coming after our staff. And, you know, they decided to stay. And then, like, a bunch of them have gone since then. But, like I said, at least they had a plan. And hopefully we'll get to talk to them like we did last year, not during the season, but at least in the spring we did.
Good stuff as always, Vince. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
All right, guys. You do the same. Appreciate you having me.
Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML, there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter is how you can give him a follow. It's free, and it takes like 1.2 seconds to do. Just hit follow. It's really easy. He's a good follow. Yes, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Bank wants to invite you to their grand opening. We've got a new branch at 1861 Memorial Boulevard. That is down in the borough, Murfreesboro. And there will be a branch at 2814 West End Avenue this Wednesday from 11 until 4 p.m., 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. 102.5 The Game will be at the Murfreesboro location from 11 until 1, so 11 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon. The Nashville Predators Energy Team and Nash will be on site from 3 until 4 o'clock. Then from 2:30 to 4, the game will be at the West End location with the Predators player appearance from 3 to 4. You can come meet and greet and take a photo. Come out to either location and enjoy some music, some food, surprises, including a chance to win $100 gift card, Preds tickets to see them take on the Blues, and a pair of tickets to an upcoming concert at Bridgestone Arena. For more details, thegamenashville.com. Events page, GameNashville.com events page. So remember that. It's going to be Wednesday, West End and Murfreesboro. Both locations will have a Predators presence and some presence for you to take part of.
Yeah. Indeed. Did you see what's coming to Bridgestone Arena? Did you see this?
Did I see what's coming to
April 24th?
Arena?
This is right up your alley. Mine too.
Oh, then I have not seen it, no.
Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan together, one night only.
Oh, wow.
April 24th, Bridgestone Arena.
Really?
Yeah, I am all about that.
I'm all about that action, boss.
And then the next night, they'll be in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center. But they're doing back-to-back nights, one night in Nashville, one night in New Orleans.
Rogan and Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
I've never even seen Rogan stand up.
I haven't either. I've interviewed him. You've interviewed him
many
for
times.
UFC.
Many times. Joe Rogan's got a potty mouth.
He does.
So he does. He's very, very, very dirty. Joe Rogan's made a lot of money in his career.
Yeah.
Lots.
Doing two different things.
Yep.
He's kind of like Jason Fitz. You know, Fitzy did the music thing, and now he's doing the sports talk thing. Joe Rogan has done comedy and now the UFC stuff.
But he's doing that. He's done them together. That's what's impressive. Like Jason Fitz was, he did them separately.
Right.
Like Rogan goes around and tours at the stops the UFC's making. If the UFC's in a city and there's a comedy club, he may do, you know, a night.
Yeah, but he's doing an arena.
Two. No,
he's doing two arenas.
Well, I know. That's Dave Chappelle helps that.
Sure.
Joe Rogan would not be a Bridgestone Arena alone.
But
no
offense. I think that's
But Dave
cool.
Chappelle and Rogan?
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be fun. So what is that on?
April 24th,
and that's
Friday
night. It's a Friday night?
It's Friday night. I think that's going to be pretty
Very
cool.
Very interesting.
Uh-huh.
We just told you earlier in the show, Eddie Murphy is going to go back out on tour as well.
I hope he makes a stop here.
I would assume that'll be an arena. Those will be arena stops,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. I would think.
Yeah.
I would definitely think.
I've never seen Chappelle or Rogan live.
I haven't either.
I would say most have not.
Yeah. I mean, because Dave Chappelle went away for so long, and then, like, he was great on Saturday Night Live with when he appeared with Eddie Murphy. That was hilarious. Did you see that when they're like, mm-hmm. I don't think you can smoke in here. You can't. The lights it up anyway. Like, that was great. But yeah, so pretty cool. Bridgestone Arena, April 24th.
Wow. Very nice. So you got a chance to take in the XFL.
I did, and I liked it. I took in a lot this
weekend.
So
far, I feel like everybody I've talked to who consumed the product, they liked it.
Yeah.
Overall. I mean, it's not like people are going, oh, my gosh, this is going to take over the world. No, it's just saying, hey, it was a good first week option.
And
good.
And this is, you cannot base anything on a week. However, I think with the money that they have, with Vince McMahon's money, the fact that they have embraced gambling because of the Vince McMahon's connection with DraftKings, and that is a major part of the broadcast, is they're always referring to the spread, they're referring to the over-under, things like that. It's different. The replay reviews are awesome because they're very quick, and you hear the whole thing. So they have the replay official mic'd up in the booth, and he's going through it all and talking to the officials on the field, which you hear them too, and you know why they come to the conclusion that they come to, and they do it fast. They don't take long. I really like that. I just think there are enough new things to keep you interested. Now, can they sustain this beyond this year? I don't know. I think it's going to make a season. I think that they will at least play a full season and then go from there. The on-field play was good. One great. It was about what you would expect it to be, but it was entertaining. So, I was just laughing at Dallas because you obviously had Bob Stoops, but you know who the OC is for Dallas? Hal Mummy.
Hmm.
So there were some names coming up that you hadn't heard in a while, and Hal Mummy is one of them. So I liked it. I'll watch next week. It's definitely something to do when there's, you know, not a lot going on sports-wise. So we'll see. And I think it's a good opportunity for some of these players. You know, we'll talk to Tom Hart here in a little bit about it, but we had Greg McElroy on Friday who said, I wish it was 5 years ago because I would have played.
Yep, he did. We had a good conversation with Greg McElroy last week on the program. We'll come back and wrap up the third hour of the program on this Monday on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994, and they've got more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. Now, they're big into, like I said, waterproofing. With all this rain, the rain we had last week, the rain we're going to get this week, that's important. You may have poor drainage at your house. Surface water floods over walls, underground pressure forces water into a basement if you have a basement. Water seeps through walls. So if you're maybe asking yourself, why is my home wet? Maybe you've got bowing basement walls, standing water in a crawl space, musty odors or rot in floor joists, condensation on ductwork, cracks in basement floors. Look, all of these are signs that maybe your house is trying to tell you something. And that's where USS comes into play, because they're going to give you a free estimate, and they are certainly proud of their work because they believe in their quality of work, they believe in their reputation, and they believe in integrity. And as a homeowner, these are all things that should make you perk up and say, oh, yeah, that gets my attention. They're not a franchise, okay? They are locally owned, and they're licensed and insured, and if any of those things are happening to your house, especially with all this rain we're getting, you need to give them a call. You need to get in touch with USS, 615-227-2275. That's 615-227-2275. Or you can always go to their website, USS TN.com. They guarantee their best. Call USS. Looks like Luke Fickell is going to stay put at Cincinnati.
A little surprised by that, too.
Pat Narduzzi said, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to stay at Pittsburgh. Wow.
Ooh.
This is Michigan State.
I wonder what's going on. I mean, we know the things that have been going on in Michigan State, but.
Joe Rexroad, who we love and adore from The Athletic, tweeted out a picture of Butch Jones to Michigan State. Like, stop it, Joe. Just stop it. Stop. Come on. You know what, though? They may end up getting to that. It may come down to Derek Dooley or Butch Jones before it's all said and done. Well, probably not. It looks like the new name for that search is, have you seen this?
Is it who I think it is? I haven't seen it, but.
I don't know who you think it is. Who?
Is it Butch?
Well, I just said that. I said that's what Joe Rexroad was putting up there.
We weren't
listening.
Sorry.
Where are we?
No, I was not.
No. Brett Bielema is the name that's now being thrown out there.
Bielema.
Wow. Michigan State. Wow. Did you see Brett's work at Arkansas?
Yeah, but in the Big Ten, he was a little better in the Big Ten.
No, he was a lot better in the Big Ten. A lot better. Fun guy to interview.
So he just got hired by the Giants
mm-hmm.
as a senior defensive assistant and outside linebackers coach. But obviously you would leave in a heartbeat to be a head coach again. Considering the circumstances, is that the worst they could do? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
And like I said, it looked better in the Big Ten than it did in the SEC.
It did. But still. Mm. Doesn't feel like a sexy hire, does it?
No. Especially that you've been turned down by two up-and-comers. That I think would have been. I'm shocked. I thought that was Luke Fickell. I thought that was his job.
Yeah.
And apparently he's I'm good.
Narduzzi too.
Either one of them.
Especially
either one of them.
Considering with him. I don't know where that's going. But Brett Bielema seems to be the one who's surfaced to the top of the list right now. Craig Custance has put out that person who's been a long time in Nashville. As David Poyle's right-hand man, and then was the general manager in the Predators division, is back in the league. Paul Fenton has been hired as a scout for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Isn't that where Blake Jeffrion is with Columbus? Or he has been. I don't know if he's still there, but I believe he was working with them.
Mm-hmm. He was. I don't know. I have it. I believe so.
I haven't. I mean, obviously, they don't come here. They come here once
in a
year.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Seth Jones put on IR today by the Blue Jackets.
Well, good for good to see Paul get back in and get a job in a scouting capacity. So that's good. Good for him. Wasn't out very long.
Had a caller bring up, and this is what I know about the goaltending situation. Hold on, by the way, I just wanted to see, there a lot of people are tweeting out just now that Myles Garrett, I guess, met with the league today.
Oh, yeah, I knew that was coming up.
Roger Goodell was present. Interesting. About his reinstatement back into the league. Okay, just thought I'd pass along. That literally just was put out there.
Don't have a ruling, I guess, but
no, they're just saying that he did indeed meet with the commissioner's office and the commissioner was present.
Do you think that they should reinstate him, that the rest of the season was enough, or should it maybe be a calendar year, I should say?
I don't think it was enough.
Okay, then
I think it needs to hurt, man. It needs to hurt.
I know a lot of people, and I believe it was even Jeff Fisher came on the show and said a calendar year is how long he should be out.
How many games did he end up missing? That was Third week in November?
Six.
I want to say it was six.
Was it six, though? Was it that much?
Hang on. I'll tell you. So that happened in week, if my computer would cooperate. All right, so that happened in week 11. So he missed one, two, six.
Six after that?
Yep.
Yeah. I could see where that's possibly enough.
I mean, because here's the thing, and I'm not using this as an excuse, but just something to think about. If you say, okay, you're going to sit out half the next season or two to the point, you know, where it's a full calendar year, which would be November 14th, would make it a full calendar year. So let's say they make that ruling. You're hurting him in the fact that he's gonna be out for a calendar year, which is what you want to do. So you're hurting him financially, but he's not going to have that prep time. You're asking him to come in halfway through the season. Maybe that's part of the punishment. But I almost wonder if they just, I mean, he could be a part of training camp, I guess, in the preseason like Taylor Lewan was and other suspended players have been. But, you know, how, it's like at that point, do you just go the rest of the season or do you just say six games was enough?
So if you miss six, how about the first two games of the season? So he misses half of a year.
That could work, half a season. Yeah, I could see that. I think that's enough.
But just no, yeah. Strongly worded behind the scenes.
Like you do it again.
You're toast, man.
Yeah. Even though he could look at them and go, yeah, like Josh Gordon was. But obviously different circumstances.
Yeah, different circumstances. This was on a Thursday night audience, a big audience because it was the Steelers. And it was on tape for everybody to see. It was on display for everybody to see.
Yeah.
The other one, nobody was watching.
Right. It was all personal and behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we'll come back. Fourth and final hour. We start with Tom Hart. That's next on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.